वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 3, Text 10. Let's turn on the fan. Akama,
Akama,
Sarvakama,
Sarvakama,
Va,
Va,
Mokshakama,
Mokshakama,
Udarathi,
Udarathi,
Tivrena,
Tivrena,
Bhakti Yogena,
Bhakti Yogena,
Yajeta,
Yajeta,
Purusham,
Purusham,
Param,
Param,
Akama Sarvakama Va,
Akama Sarvakama Va,
Mokshakama Udarathi,
Mokshakama Udarathi,
Tivrena Bhakti Yogena,
Tivrena Bhakti Yogena,
Yajeta Purusham Param,
Yajeta Purusham Param,
Akama Sarvakama Va,
Akama Sarvakama Va,
Mokshakama Udarathi,
Mokshakama Udarathi,
Tivrena Bhakti Yogena,
Tivrena Bhakti Yogena,
Yajeta Purusham Param,
Yajeta Purusham Param,
Akama
Sarvakama Va,
Mokshakama Udarathi,
Tivrena Bhakti Yogena,
Yajeta Purusham Param,
Akama Sarvakama Va,
Akama Sarvakama Va,
Mokshakama
Udarathi,
Tivrena Bhakti Yogena,
Tivrena Bhakti Yogena,
Yajeta
Purusham Param,
Akama Sarvakama Va,
Akama Sarvakama Va,
Mokshakama Udarathi,
Mokshakama Udarathi,
Tivrena Bhakti Yogena,
Tivrena Bhakti Yogena,
Yajeta Purusham Param,
Yajeta Purusham Param,
Akama Sarvakama Va,
Akama Sarvakama Va,
Mokshakama
Udarathi,
Tivrena Bhakti Yogena,
Tivrena Bhakti Yogena,
Yajeta
Purusham Param,
Akama Sarvakama Va,
Akama Sarvakama Va,
Mokshakama Udarathi,
Mokshakama Udarathi,
Tivrena Bhakti Yogena,
Tivrena Bhakti Yogena,
Yajeta Purusham Param,
Yajeta Purusham Param, Akama Sarvakama Va, Mokshakama Udarathi, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena,
Yajeta Purusham Param,
Akama Sarvakama Va,
Mokshakama
Udarathi,
Tivrena Bhakti Yogena,
Yajeta Purusham Param, Akamaha,
one who has
transcended
all material desires.
Sarvakamaha,
Sarvakamaha,
one who has the sum total of material desires.
Va,
either.
Mokshakamaha,
one who desires liberation.
Udarathi,
with broader intelligence.
Tivrena,
with great force. Bhakti Yogena,
Bhakti Yogena,
my devotional service to the Lord. To the Lord, to the Lord. Yajeta,
Yajeta,
should worship.
Purusham,
the Lord.
Param,
the Supreme Whole.
A
person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of all material desire, without any material desire, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, is described in the Bhagavad Gita as Purushottam, or the Supreme Personality. It is He only who can award liberation to the impersonalists by absorbing such aspirants in the Brahmajyoti, the bodily rays of the Lord. The Brahmajyoti is not separate from the Lord, as the glowing sun ray is not independent of the sun disk. Therefore, one who desires to merge into the supreme impersonal Brahmajyoti must also worship the Lord by bhakti yoga, as recommended here in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti yoga is especially stressed here as the means of all perfection. In the previous chapters, it has been stated that bhakti yoga is the ultimate goal of both karma yoga and jnana yoga. And in the same chapter, in the same way, in this chapter, it is emphatically declared that bhakti yoga is the ultimate goal of the different varieties of worship of the different demigods. Bhakti yoga, thus being the supreme means of self-realization, is recommended here. Everyone must therefore seriously take up the methods of bhakti yoga. Even though one aspires for material enjoyment or liberation from material bondage.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Miditam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mayam Dathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Shadrajatam Sahagana Gaganatam Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Vrijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostite Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhana Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vamsha Kulpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhobhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vaishnavi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Akama Sarva Kamo Va Moksha Kamo Dharadhi
tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. In the previous verses, there's been practically a laundry list of material desires and recommended demigods to worship to achieve the satisfaction of those desires. So to worship, to get good health, you should worship the sun. To get a good wife, you should worship Uma. To get this, you should worship this. To get that, you worship that. Big list of which god to worship to get which thing. Then, in the first paragraph, Prabhupada is glossing moksha kama. Suppose you want impersonal liberation. Then you should worship Krishna, because he's Mukunda, the giver of liberation. Even getting impersonal liberation depends on Krishna's mercy. So even the impersonalist who wants to merge with God is recommended to worship the Purusham Puram, Ajam Puran Purusham, the personality of Godhead, Krishna. A kama is one who has no material desire. A living being, naturally being the part and parcel of the supreme whole, Purusham Purnam, has as his natural function to serve the supreme being. Just as the parts and parcels of the body, or the limbs of the body, are naturally meant to serve the complete body. Desireless means, therefore, not to be inert like the stone, but to be conscious of one's actual position, and thus desire satisfaction only from the Supreme Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this desirelessness as bhajaniya parama purusha sukha matra swasukhatvam in his Sandarbha. This means that one should feel happy only by experiencing the happiness of the Supreme Lord. This intuition of the living being is sometimes manifest even during the conditioned stage of a living being in the material world, and such intuition is expressed in the manner of altruism, philanthropy, socialism, communism, etc., by the undeveloped minds of the less intelligent persons. In the mundane field, such an outlook of doing good to others in the form of society, community, family, country, or humanity is a partial manifestation of the same original feeling in which a pure living entity feels happiness by the happiness of the Supreme Lord. Such superb feelings were exhibited by the damsels of Brajabhumi for the happiness of the Lord. The gopis loved the Lord without any return, and this is the perfect example of the akama spirit. Kama spirit, or the desire for one's own satisfaction, is fully exhibited in the material world, whereas the spirit of akama is fully exhibited in the spiritual world. So when we come to akama, Srila Prabhupada explains, it doesn't mean no desire. It doesn't mean desire is killed, that we become the inner. It means that our desire is the desire to please Krishna. And we experience that by pleasing Krishna, we get pleasure automatically. We don't have to separately worry about our own pleasure. We just have to try to satisfy Krishna, and we'll automatically be satisfied. When the hand puts food in the stomach, it doesn't have to worry about where it's going to get its own food. The stomach will distribute to all the limbs of the body. So, praharshi asyami sanatana. One will feel fully happy when one is engaged in the service of Krishna. That's our natural position. And in any other position, we'll feel awkward. We'll feel awkward. Like, if you're standing on the ground, you feel like you're in the natural position.
If you're standing on a box that's sitting on a stone, that's resting on a plank, that's, you feel like that crossing on the stream. Doesn't quite feel like it's solid. It's something sitting on something sitting on something. And when you're on the ground, then it feels solid. So the ground is our natural constitutional position of Krishna consciousness. There we'll feel completely natural, completely satisfied, completely fulfilled, completely everything. And any other position, we'll feel a little bit or a lot awkward. Therefore, everyone in the material world is actually feeling themselves in an awkward position, and they're trying to remedy that or do something about that. No one wants to feel awkward. There's been sociological research done that indicates that, for example, if you're interviewing someone and then you just remain silent, you ask a question and the person answers and then you remain silent, it, practically the person has to say something more because he feels awkward. He feels awkward, so he has to say more. Or so many other experiments have been done showing that people exhibit crowd behavior because it feels so awkward to be the odd person out. So actually everyone's in an awkward position in the material world because we're not in our natural position of Krishna consciousness. So constitutional position, we'll feel happy by satisfying Krishna. Because we're not in our constitutional position, we're trying to do other things. And the person who's got, Prabhupada calls it some intuition, some sense that when I try to give pleasure to others, I get more pleasure than when I try to satisfy myself. Do that in terms of altruism, philanthropy, socialism, communism. They have some idea that by doing something for the greater good, I'll get more satisfaction. But they don't know what the greatest good is. And therefore their efforts are misdirected. They're not actually satisfying to themselves. Trotsky got himself shot, that's all. And they're not satisfied. Even Gandhi, he got himself shot. A lot of people get themselves shot by trying to help others. So they didn't satisfy themselves and they didn't satisfy others, actually. Because they didn't actually know what the constitutional position of the living being is. Even, Prabhupada takes it further, society, community, family, country, or humanity. These are all partial manifestations of that intuition that I'll be happy by serving Krishna. And we see that people try to give happiness to humanity, Red Cross and United Nations, whatever, or their country, which gets pernicious because it's always my country at the expense of your country, our happiness at the expense of your happiness. So the humanitarians are on a broader platform. The patriots are on a more contracted, smaller platform. Then community, they're on a still more narrow platform. That we're just interested in our little community. And still more narrow than that is family. In family life, ideally, the husband wants to make the wife happy, the wife wants to make the husband happy, the parents want to make the children happy, the children want to make the parents happy. And it's all within the realm of this one little sphere. So our impulse to give happiness, to give rather than take happiness, is manifested within that little circle. And no one in that circle will really be satisfied because, number one, they're not purely trying to give happiness to others. It's actually, I'll give you something if you give me something. And second of all, even if, yes, I made my wife so happy, Yes, I made my children so happy. So what? So what? That's, is that the ultimate perfection of your life? Even the animals do that. And they make their little cubs happy. They make their little family unit happy. Is that what human life is meant for? Just giving happiness to my little family. So Prabhupada said about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada, no, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that he gave up the small world of wife and family for the larger world of Krishna and all humanity. That was the ideal set by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the, of course, that can be done from any platform, family life, sannyas life, whatever. But the goal there is no longer my family should be happy. It's Krishna should be happy. And my family will be happy when they're engaged in the service of Krishna. I will be happy when I'm engaged in the service of Krishna. Others will be happy when they're engaged in the service of Krishna. The center is Krishna. That's the difference between Grihamedhi and Grihastha. The Grihamedhi, the center is home and material enjoyment, sex and bread. And Grihastha, the center is Krishna. Very different. Very different sort of life. And one, my own satisfaction is the focus, or the satisfaction of three or four people. And the other, it's Krishna. In the first model, no one is actually satisfied. And when everyone is engaged in the service of Krishna, then there'll be actual satisfaction. Prabhupada mentions the gopis in a sort of counterintuitive way, because generally we think that the gopis were full of desire. That's how it's usually depicted. They're full of desire. But Prabhupada turns it around and says they're the perfect emblems of desirelessness. Because their desire was only for the pleasure of Krishna, not for their own pleasure. Kaviraj Goswami says, Atmendriya Priti Bancha Paribale Kam. The desire for one's own satisfaction is calm. Atmendriya Priti Bancha. My own, when I want to satisfy my own senses, that's calm. And Krishna, Mendriya Priti Bancha Tare Prema. When my desire is to satisfy the senses of Krishna, that's prema. Kaviraj Goswami says they may look like the same thing, but they're completely different. It appears that Krishna and the gopis are young boys, young girls. It looks like the same thing as what we find in the material world. But he says the difference is like the difference between iron and gold. Iron is metal and gold is metal. But iron and gold are not of the same value. Thank you so much for that iron bracelet. No, it doesn't really mend it. Gold. Oh, gold is prema, and iron is kama. Completely different values. So the gopis are on the highest standard of prema. They have no interest other than the interest of pleasing Krishna. And the materialists have no interest other than pleasing themselves. And in the middle there are those who are mixed devotees, who are interested in pleasing themselves but have figured out that they can please themselves better by trying to serve God. Thoughts of becoming one with the Lord or being merged in the Brahmajyoti can also be exhibitions of kama, spirit, if they are a desire for one's own satisfaction to be free from the material miseries. A pure devotee does not want liberation so that he may be relieved from the miseries of life. Even without so-called liberation, a pure devotee is aspirant for the satisfaction of the Lord. Influenced by the Kama spirit, Arjuna declined to fight in the Kurukshetra battlefield because he wanted to save his relatives for his own satisfaction. But being a pure devotee, he agreed to fight on the instruction of the Lord because he came to his senses and realized that satisfaction of the Lord at the cost of his own satisfaction was his prime duty. Thus he became akama. That is the perfect stage of a perfect living being. Udarati means one who has a broader outlook. People with desires for material enjoyment worship small demigods. Small demigods. And such intelligence is condemned in the Bhagavad Gita 7:20 as kritagyan, the intelligence of one who has lost his senses. One cannot obtain any result from demigods without getting satisfaction from the Supreme Lord, Mayava Vihitan Hitan. Therefore, a person with a broader outlook can see that the ultimate authority is the Lord, even for material benefits. Under the circumstances, one with a broader outlook, even with the desire for material enjoyment or for liberation, should take to the worship of the Lord directly. And everyone, whether an akama or sakama or mokshakama, should worship the Lord with great expedience. This implies that bhakti yoga may be perfectly administered without any mixture of karma and jnana. As the unmixed sunray is very forceful and is therefore called tivra, similarly, unmixed bhakti yoga of hearing, chanting, etc., may be performed by one and all, regardless of inner motive. This is interesting to look at, that Prabhupada doesn't recommend, well, if you're sakama, if you have desires, then do some sort of mixed devotional service. If you've got mixed desires, still perform pure devotional service. Perform the service of hearing and chanting, worshipping the deity. Perform all those spiritual activities, even if you're sarvakama. Not the, well, I'm sarvakama, so I'm going to cook up something which is partly devotional service and partly something else. No. Interesting. That the pure activities of hearing and chanting are good for everybody. Even if you're sarvakama, I desire this, 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 and this. Still, hear, chant, remember Krishna, do everything. Not adulterate. Don't adulterate it. Because the adulterated thing is less valuable, less powerful than the pure thing. If I want to serve Krishna to satisfy my material desires, then I should serve Krishna with great concentration. Dhruva Maharaj, he had material desires. The whole thing was kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. But what did he do? He didn't say, well, then I'll worship Krishna and I'll get something going politically on the side to take over the kingdom. I'll poison my stepmother. He didn't think, well, I'll have two games going at the same time so that I'll have a fallback position or whatever it was. He just fully engaged in the service of Krishna and all of his desires were fulfilled. Interesting that Prabhupada glosses it that way. I was asked to speak about like future orientation, right? Future orientation. What does it say there?
Responsibility for the future.
Responsibility for the future. I guess someone figures that we're kind of sarvakama here, but even though we're sarvakama, we're going to take responsibility for the future. Or maybe some of us are. Some of us are desiring liberation. Some of us have material desires. Some of us have no desires. I guess that's fair because that covers the whole field. We're all someplace among those three categories. Maybe a little mixture of this and that. Whatever it is, udarati, if we have broader intelligence, that is to say, if we're smart, then we'll engage in bhakti yoga, tibrena, with concentrated power service, devotional service to Krishna, without mixture of anything else, is power service. So that's the verse. As far as future responsibility, take it. Take some responsibility for Krishna's service, and then take more. I don't think I'm going to elaborate all on that, because otherwise I'm going to say all the usual stuff you expect to hear, and that gets boring. Any questions? Does that mean one can be a kama even if one has material desires but one has transcended them? Yes. The nature of embodied life is that desires will sometimes come. By nature of the body, desires will come. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Prachurira vimokshanat kama kodhod pavam degam sayukta sasaki naraha. What's the beginning? Bhagavad Gita? I know, I never know chapters. Okay, here's a lesson. Bhagavad Gita, as it is, in any decent edition of it, not every edition is decent, has a verse index in the back. Index of verses, and there's also an index of verses quoted. Index of Sanskrit verses in alphabetical order. So then you look under K. It indexes the first line and the third line. Since we don't know the first line, we're going to look at the third line, and it gives the number of the verse. Prabhupada would be sitting, he'd say to some disciple, find out that verse. And then that's how you would find it. If you were together, if you weren't together, you wouldn't find it. Together. No. Kama krodhod bhavam vega. Gotta look again. We're gonna do it this way. Kama krodhod bhavam vega. Bingo. Shaknoti hayava yashodhun kachudhira vimokshana. Before giving up this present body, if one is able to tolerate the urges of the material senses and check the force of desire and anger, he is well situated and happy in this world. If one wants to make steady progress on the path of self-realization, he must try to control the forces of the material senses. There are the forces of talk, forces of anger, forces of mind, forces of the stomach, forces of the genitals, and forces of the tongue. One who is able to control the forces of all these different senses and the mind is called Goswami, or Swami. Such Goswamis live strictly controlled lives and forego altogether the forces of the senses. Material desires, when unsatiated, generate anger, and thus the mind, eyes, and chest become agitated. Therefore, one must practice to control them. One must practice to control them before one gives up this material body. One who can do this is understood to be self-realized and is thus happy in the state of self-realization. It is the duty of the transcendentalist to try strenuously to control desire and anger. So, desires will appear. Prabhupada says even in renounced life, desires may sometimes appear. But the Krishna conscious person or the Goswami controls those desires because he has access to a higher happiness, or he has access to happiness within in Krishna consciousness. He's able to control those desires. And he has a higher happiness. Why am I going to throw away the happiness of Krishna consciousness for the happiness of overeating or over whatever? For the happiness of letting my senses go or let my mind go. Why am I going to do that? So, even though some desire may appear just due to the nature of embodied life, he doesn't act on it. So it's like dead. You know, it's there, but it's dead. You know, they say about something, well, that's going to go nowhere. So that's what it is. It's going to go nowhere. It's a desire, it appears, but it goes nowhere. Because he checks it from the very beginning. He says, whoa, that's, you know, sure, mind is going to suggest, eat more, doesn't mean I have to eat more. Mind is going to suggest, you need this girl, doesn't mean I need that girl. Mind is going to suggest something else, it doesn't mean that because the mind is dictating or the senses are pushing, I have to go with it. Because I'm not Godas. Goswami means control the mind, control the senses. So that's... therefore, he's considered transcendental. Because it's in the body, but the body is not dictating to him. Or it's dictating, but he's not taking the dictation. The body is saying, you want this, and he's saying, the hell I do. You can say no to the mind and senses. Then, apuryamana machala pratishtam samudramapa pravishanti yadvat tadvat kama yam pravishanti sarve sashantim apnoti nakama kama. Apuryamana machala pratishtam. As the ocean has so many rivers flowing into it, but the ocean always remains steady, so the Krishna-conscious person, although so many desires may come, is unaffected by those desires. Apuryamana machala pratishtam samudramapa pravishanti yadva tadvat kama yam pravishanti sarve. So many desires may enter into his field of existence, but he doesn't respond to them. Sa shantim apnoti. Such a person attains peace. Nakama kami. This kama kami is a very interesting word. Desiring to desire. Desiring desire. And you see, the materialistic life, it's like they think they're making progress by upping their desire, by cultivating desire, by agitating their minds for sense gratification. They think they're making progress. Happiness, to agitate the senses more, agitate the mind more, and then go after the satisfaction of the now more agitated mind and senses. one doesn't get peace that way. One becomes more and more disturbed, more and more frustrated. Sashantanapati, the person who tolerates desires, all right, desires something. Sashantanapati, he attains peace. Not the person who's running after desires, running after desires, running after desires. He becomes bewildered and frustrated. So, yes, the Krishna conscious person. And because he's feeling, just like Prabhupada will quote in the next verse, or is it the same verse? Let's see. Someplace, right in this section, Prabhupada quotes. Well, he quotes Ramante, oh, it was two verses earlier. Ramante yogino nante satyananda chiratmini iti ramapadena so padam brahma padhiyate. The yogis get unlimited bliss from the supreme Brahma, the personality of Godhead. And therefore, the personality of Godhead is known as Rama, the reservoir of all pleasure. Otherwise, Prabhupada quoted, Yadavari mama cheta Krishna padada vinde navanava rasa taman yudyatam rantama si tadavati tadavadhi batanari sangame smriyamani bhavati mukavikara shushtu vishtivanamcha. This is Yamunacharya. He says that since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought and my lips curl with distaste. That means he sometimes thinks of it. Because of embodied life, the thought may sometimes come, but when he thinks of it, why? Because he has such a higher taste from being engaged in the service of Krishna. Does that answer your question? Another question. Am I saying that chewing the chewed is not the perfection of life? Yeah, I think we could conclude that. Probably that you chew it from one side of your mouth, you chew it from another side of your mouth. It's not going to get better. Mm-hmm. Is the purport that your material desires will actually diminish, or that Krishna will fulfill them? Good question. Either or both. Generally, we can say both. Krishna will satisfy, someone's worshipping Krishna. Krishna may satisfy the desires of the devotee. No, I won't say generally. It's up to Krishna. Sometimes he thinks, all right, give this devotee what he wants. He's praying to me for something. Give him. But being considerate, Krishna may consider he wants something, but this is not going to be good for him. Don't give it. Don't give it. Then Krishna has to arrange some other way how to help that devotee advance so that the devotee realizes, well, that's not really what I wanted. Or I wanted it, but that wasn't a good idea. So Krishna, being considerate, he arranges so that the devotee gets some realization or the devotee loses that desire. Instead of giving, Krishna takes everything away. Or he gives, and the devotee becomes satisfied, but he sees that's not what I wanted. Actually, I wanted some small thing, like Dhruva Maharaj. He wanted a kingdom, but when he saw the Lord, he thought, what is this kingdom? So Krishna may, he's independent. He can play it any way he likes. He can satisfy the desire. Well, that's all right. In the in my service, that desire is all right. He can have the fulfillment of that. It's not going to stand in his way. Kardamuni, he wanted a wife. So Krishna gave him a wife. But he also gave that I'll become your son. So Krishna may sometimes satisfy the desire in such a way that it doesn't impede the spiritual life of the devotee. Or that the devotee gets it out of his system. All right, I did that. Now let's get on with it. I did that, whatever there was, I chewed it. No use chewing it again. Let's get on to something better than that. He loses his taste. That's not what I was looking for. So somehow or other, Krishna arranges it so that the devotee comes toward him. That's Krishna's kindness. The demigods, they just give. Lord Shiva is Ashutosha. You worship him, he gives you what you want, no matter how stupid it is, no matter how bad it is for you, he just gives it to you, and then you deal with it. But Krishna considers, is this really for his ultimate welfare or not? And he makes a nice arrangement for the devotee. So you have a choice, Krishna or Shiva, or someone else. But Udarati, those who have broader intelligence, their choice is indicated here. Another question? Mm-hmm. Yes? To give up material desires, we need a higher taste, but? But to get the higher taste, you need Krishna's mercy. What's the criterion for getting Krishna's mercy? Well, there's two ways to get Krishna's mercy. One is by serving Krishna, and the other is causeless mercy. You don't do anything, and for that, there's no criteria. You just get it. Some devotee wanted to be merciful, that's all. So you get causeless mercy. Some of your devotees are distributing books, and some person comes down the street, and the devotee says, "Here, have you heard about whatever it is," whatever the devotee says. So, and the person says, "No, and I'm not really interested." Well, you're interested in something. Somehow or other, the devotee canvasses, "Take this book, take this book, take this book, take this book." So the person didn't do anything to deserve the book. Maybe he even did a few things to try to avoid getting the book. But the devotee is determined, this person should get some mercy. This person should get some mercy. So that's causeless mercy. There's no reason for it. No credentials, no qualifications, no preconditions. Just somebody decided, this guy should get some mercy. Or there's, you do something that pleases Krishna, then Krishna gives his mercy. Please the spiritual master, please Krishna, and Krishna will give his mercy. That comes in the next verse. All the different kinds of worshippers of multi-demigods can attain the highest perfectional benediction, that is mercy, which is spontaneous attraction, unflinchingly fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How? Only by the association of the pure devotee of the Lord. Yad Bhagavata Sangatam. If one gets the association of the pure devotee, then one can get abundant mercy. Is that okay? Yeah. Maji, you have a question? Careful about what I desire. Yeah, that story about the guy who was sitting under a tree and thought, but maybe a tiger will eat me. It was a desire tree, and then somehow or other he started thinking of this, then he started thinking of that, and somehow or other he realized it was a desire tree and thought, but he had this thought that maybe a tiger would eat me, and somehow it came. So you watch your thoughts, that's the idea. Be careful of what you desire. There's also another side to it, that sometimes we put aside our desires to worship Krishna, and in the course of things, Krishna satisfies all those desires anyway. You gave up wanting to be famous, you gave up wanting to be a big man, you gave up wanting to be this, wanting to be that, and in the course of things, Krishna just gives it to you anyway. You become a big man in Krishna consciousness, you become famous in Krishna consciousness, you start a big business in Krishna consciousness, or whatever it is that you desire. You become fully engaged in artistic activity, whatever your desire was. You give it up to serve Krishna, and Krishna throws it back at you anyway. He satisfies you. All right, I'll give you that and more. Huh? In Bhagavad Gita, Vedeshu yageshu tapasyu chaiva daneshu yat punya palam pradishtam atyeti tam sarvam idam viditva yogi param sthanu payam. Whatever you might get by studying the Vedas, becoming a big scholar, by performing yajnas, people are performing yajnas to get a this, to get a that. Daneshu, giving charity to get some return. Vedeshu, yajneshu, tapasya, performing severe tapasya to get some result. Daneshu, yat punya palam pradishtam, whatever pious results you may get, to become famous, to become beautiful, to become popular, to become powerful, these are all results of pious activities. Whatever pious activities you might get by these other means, one exceeds. Adyeti means two things. Prabhupada translates it one way in the word for word, another in the translation. One is that he goes beyond all these. The other is that he attains these. Because you get all this and more. If you get Krishna, what do you lack? What do you lack? You become the most everything when you're engaged in the service. Whatever desires you have. Sudama Brahman, he didn't desire anything. He just desired to see Krishna. His wife was nudging him. More than that. Pressuring him. Fetching, really, is what it is. But anyway, she was giving him a hard time. You have to go see Krishna. You have to go see Krishna. You were Krishna's friend. We're so poor. Why don't you go see Krishna? All right. All right, I'll go see Krishna. Not to get something, but because he wanted to see Krishna. He thought, all right, this is the opportunity. And then when he got there, Krishna was so happy to see him, and Rukmini was fanning him, and Krishna was giving him all respect because he was a Brahmin, and all love because they were old friends. And then, you might have brought me something. No, I didn't bring anything. No, you brought something. So he brought a little poa, a little chipped rice, so Krishna snatched that. One mouthful, two mouthfuls, then he's going to take a third mouthful. No, Rukmini is stopping him. You're too indebted already, two mouthfuls. You take this third one, we won't be able to pay him back. And then he spent the night, and then he went home. And he didn't have it in him to ask Krishna, oh, my wife wants this, my wife wants that. Couldn't we have a little of this? We're poor. After all, we're old friends, but I'm poor. He didn't ask anything. And then he got back home, and his house had become a palace. His wife had become like the goddess of fortune. Everything, he's rubbing his eyes. Who lives here? So he got everything. Krishna saw that. Why not? He has no material desire. I can throw all this at him. It won't affect him at all. He'll be fine. One is never the loser by serving Krishna, but the gainer by thousands of times. Anything else? Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada's father used to say that to him, to Prabhupada, that if Krishna wants to take away with his 1,000 arms, what can you protect with your 2 arms? And if Krishna wants to give with his 1,000 arms or 10 arms, he said, then what will you, you can't even take it all. Krishna's and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's more generous. Krishna prema pradayate. He's giving away fruits of love of Godhead that Krishna, even Krishna doesn't give. And just take. That's causeless mercy. Just take. What qualification? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't consider qualification. Take, take, take. I've got all this fruit. I've got to get rid of it. Like the fruit sellers at the end of the day. You know, I've got all this fruit. You know, got to get rid of it. They just give. It doesn't matter what you can pay, what you can't pay. Here, take. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like that. Doesn't consider who deserves it, who doesn't deserve it. I have all this fruit. I suppose I could take it back, but I might as well distribute it. That's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. And that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees also. They just give. They don't consider that somehow or other, how am I going to live if I give this away? Gives it away. Take Krishna. Take Krishna. Take Krishna. Take Krishna. Is it okay that I didn't talk a lot about your future career in Krishna consciousness and how you're all going to become temple presidents, BBT trustees, archives in charge, and all that kind of stuff? You know that already, right? You've got that down. Mm-hmm. Future leaders of America, all that stuff. So that you know. Any last 2-minute questions? Okay, we end 2 minutes early. Thank you very much. All glories to Shri Krishna.